Hey everybody, I'm Roxy.
And I'm Priska. And we are
the two
Horny Girls. Whoa.
Climbing the mountain of life,
eating Asian American stereotypes
for breakfast.
Two horny notes. We're back. We're back, y'all. Nobody asked for it. Everyone returned it.
Hey, anyways, we're starting a new band called Two Horny Notes.
I know. Everyone saved the receipt and they returned it. Nobody wanted it, but we're still doing it. We're still doing it.
Hi, Roxy. Oh my God. Can I just say how fucking amazing it is to be doing this again with you right now?
You can say it I'm feeling it too.
Like, honestly, life is so different without two horny goats.
I literally hate it. I don't know what I'm living for. I'm just droning on day to day. Like, every day the sun rises, the sun sets.
Yeah, but did I live?
Did I think?
No.
Did I breathe?
No.
I breathed a little, but not in the same way.
I'm just existing, you know?
I'm
not living.
No. Happy season five, bitch.
Oh my God. Can you believe it that, like, we've been doing this for 5 years?
I cannot. I cannot.
And I'm sure that all of you listening are feeling the exact same way.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, we started this baby in 2020. Can you believe that? So 2020, 2021, 2023, 2024.
It's right. 2021, 2022. Wait.
It's the fifth year.
It is the fifth year.
That's so weird.
It's like we went through freshman through senior prom and onto the new lives.
We're
all in college now. Yeah, in this lifespan. It's fucking weird.
We're aging. Okay, Roxy, so in the break, like during the interim, when you weren't hearing from us all the fucking time, your parents came into town.
Oh my God. Can the first time in 7 years.
First time in seven fucking years. Yeah. 7 years.
Yeah.
How was that entire experience? They were here for a long time.
They were here for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And to me, that is a while. And it's the first time. 7 years is a long time.
That's a really long time.
And when I go back to Taiwan, I'm always in my parents' house.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about being infantilized in like a home environment.
Yep.
And, you know, I love my parents. Yep. They obviously, but you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. Like, I'm 36 now. I'm a grown ass woman.
Tea mama.
Like, we're even talking about entering our middle age at this point.
Just beginning the journey into middle age.
I know, but
we're
like
beginning.
Just dipping a toe into the shallow end.
We're like, you know, like before you go on a zip line, we're putting on the harness.
Exactly.
We're putting the harness on. That's where we are right now. Yeah.
But like, you know, my parents will always, you know, it's so sweet, like make breakfast for me, ask me where I'm going. Like, it's like I'm 18, you know, all the time. And now it's like when they came to visit me, like I planned everything. You know, they lean on me a lot for things.
Oh.
Like, you know, like how to do driver's license registration.
Yes.
Like, I'm doing all of that for them. And
you're doing their admin.
Yeah. And like, for the first time, I'm just like, I feel happy knowing I could do these things for them, that they need me in that sense.
Right.
But also it's kind of like world changing, because I know we always talk about as we get older, we realize how human our parents are and how they're not, you know, quite as immortal or, you know,
they're not these all knowing, omniscient beings who like know something. Right. And they're also like, they're human, like they're fallible. Like, you know, and I think like you were saying, like when we're little, and maybe as teenagers and young adults, we expect all these things from our parents. And now I think we are at that age where we're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
They're humans.
And we threw together like this luncheon that had like all my best friends, and Priska literally led the party.
It was my first catering gig.
It was amazing. Like, basically we started a you know, a thread with like me and my other close friends, Rochelle, who's also been
the
best women of all time.
Yes.
And I just said, Priska, what are some ideas that you may have? And Priska's like, don't worry.
I got this.
And literally it was like the most luxurious like luncheon that anyone could ask for. Like, you made this amazing like orange like
cardamom cake. Thank you.
Like, it's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Like, all the orange slices, like using oranges from your tree, right?
And
then like the roast beef that you guys prepped, you and Abe prepped for us, like literally
took
the
two
most
days.
Stunning steak.
Like, but then we got there and really like truly saw the power of female friendship, because I think we got there at like what, 8:30 a.m.
yeah.
all a little late, but it was raining. It was an LA rainy.
No, totally. It was like a rainy basically day. A hurricane. It was like almost a hurricane.
Yeah. Not the hurricane, but basically the hurricane. Like, if you catch my drift, like, you know,
okay.
Trash was drifting.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking streets. Totally. You know,
very dangerous liabilities.
But,
yes.
Yeah. But like, we all get there, and like, literally, our two besties, like Rochelle and Leah, they went to work with Abe and I. Like, yes. Like, we didn't talk for, well, we didn't really like do anything for 90 minutes except for prep.
Yeah.
And we prepped together, and then they made these beautiful floral arrangements, yeah. And they really prettied up the food. Yeah. Like, I feel like we made a lot of the food, but they prettied everything up. Like, they made those beets look gorgeous. Like, we made a kale salad that they like shaved like beautiful cheese on top of. Like, it was a
this
it
is
was a
friendship
whole thing.
Commune at its core.
It was friendship commune TM. And I want to say to you, like, genuinely, because your parents never come to town and we are your family, I just wanted your parents to know that, like, you were okay. You know what I mean?
You know what? And that's exactly what they said to me afterwards was, you know, I think I was, my cortisol levels were really high the entire time my parents were here, because I was just trying to balance a lot of things while trying to make their experience here the best. But, you know, I was working and they were like, wait, you do this thing called work?
Right.
You know, because...
Yeah. Even though your dad's like literally a workaholic.
Yeah.
He was like,
wait a second. You have a life that you work in. Like, it's just... He's like, are you going to be home for lunch? And I'm like, no, Dad. I'm literally going to be at work. But it's really precious and very cute. And right before they left, you know, I think they were very touched by the luncheon that was put on by you and the rest of the friends. And they said, we have no reason to worry about you, you know, because they've only really been here twice since my early 20s.
Yeah.
And they fabricate in their minds this reality of what my life is in.
Right.
Just purely based on the conversations that we have over FaceTime.
Yeah.
But there's no context.
No. And then it's like, you are the giver of information. So when you're being humble or when you like, you know, like you don't feel like telling them something, it kind of like thwarts their ability to understand the full picture.
For
you know?
Sure. Yeah. And like to see how amazing my friends and community are, you know, and they got to meet Jaw, which was like a huge thing.
This was a big deal, Goatees,
really
because
big
there
deal.
Was a time in which your parents maybe didn't feel comfortable yet.
Yeah, and didn't want to acknowledge like his existence, you know, in my life. But, you know, they got him a gift from Taiwan Jaw bought a gift for them as well. And
which was so sweet.
And it was so sweet.
And what I loved was like Roxy's mom lined us all up and one by one we went into the room to accept a gift from Taiwan.
And
like,
a hongbao.
Yeah, and a hongbao, like a red envelope with like actual, like with money.
It was
really kind and so sweet. And she's like, thank you all for like putting up with Roxy. Like, not at all, mama. Like, not at all. Like, we are, you know, but it was, I think that they just wanted to show your community how much like they appreciate, you know.
I feel like there's definitely a guilt on their end. Definitely one that my dad carries. That's like, he feels bad that they left to go to Taiwan when I was 18. There's definitely a part. You're always going to have that grief when you make big choices in life, you know? And then my mom, of course, carries that too because of the way that she, you know, spends so much money on those gifts and like is intentional by every single one of them. So, you know, it just goes that like, even though I feel guilty about a whole bunch of things in terms of our relationship, I know that they carry that as well.
Yeah. Okay. Can I ask you? Cause so later in their trip, they came and they came to Chino cause
yay!
Roxy's dad and Abe are like basically best friends.
Yeah.
They like made bracelets. Like they're like ready. They're like homies. You know?
My dad loves your husband.
I am coming to grips with the fact that I might lose my husband to your dad. I'm like, my father.
He has that effect on people.
Yeah, no, definitely. But like, what was it like being back in Diamond Bar?
Oh, fuck. Because
that's where Roxy grew up.
Bitch.
Talk to me. Because you guys all got in the car and drove away. But like, you know what I'm saying?
Honestly, Priscilla's the only person that ties me back to Diamond Bar. Because even the last time that I came to visit you, we went to this amazing
Xi'an. Yes.
Is it Sichuan restaurant, right? Or is it like a Xi'an restaurant?
We've been to both. Yeah. I think we've been to both.
But I don't, what is this place called again?
I think like Xi'an Delicious or something
dude,
like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
but
in
it's
Diamond.
In a plaza you've been to.
It's so weird because like Priscilla would like suggest these places to meet and it would be on Grand Avenue or Diamond Bar Boulevard in Diamond Bar, where I have not gone back in years and years and years. I don't even think about revisiting this place. I don't even think, not that I hold any bad memories. It's just, there's really no reason to stay.
Yeah.
And we were standing out in the parking lot last time, you know, and I was just drinking in like what it was like standing there. And you know, how I was in high school, I would go to that Blockbuster that no longer existed. And like, it's all changed, you know, it's all,
yeah,
like all these businesses have changed. And I feel so much bigger in this plaza than I used to.
Right. You were like, did it get smaller?
It did. Yeah. And then my dad was trying to be like, oh yeah, no, this is Grand Avenue. We're the Cassie Bank. Like the entire trip, he's like trying to unlock from, you know, however many years, 18 years ago,
right.
Like what he was familiar with.
Yes.
And he just wanted to always flex that his like muscle memory is really good in terms of his
like
memory.
He still knows.
My mom was just like, I don't know. I'm just fucking here. Just whatever.
Your poor mom was so jet lagged. I know.
She was
so tired. I know.
Her face was falling asleep in the job chair right across from Priska.
It was like pouring shots, and she's like, no. Like, I'm so tired. But like, that's so. Why do you think he felt the need to kind of assert that? You know.
You know, my dad is. Those of you who know Michael Sheen know. He has done an episode with us in season one. If I could talk about my dad, it's interesting, like looking at him now as an adult, and my dad has worked a lot on himself.
Yeah.
And I recognize that. But sometimes I'm just thinking, like, he wants everyone to be happy, everyone to be, you know, he wants to impress, he likes to be the center of attention, quite obviously. He brought a saxophone to perform.
And let me tell, when I tell you he performed his ass off, he performed his ass off.
He got drunk and continued to perform.
That was so fucking cute. But the cutest thing is that your mom is his biggest fan.
She is biggest fan.
She's just like, oh no, no one take pictures of me. But she's there down in front. With a camera, just constantly, like, recording every single note.
Like, yeah.
And she's got, like a teenage girl smile on her face.
Yeah, she, like, fangirls after
my...
She's stoked
on him.
Very supportive, yeah.
Like, that's fucking adorable.
It's really, really cute. It's really cute. But going back to my dad about, like, you know, how he always has this mask on, I feel like it's genuinely him. But sometimes I'm just like, yo, dad, chill. It's cool. You don't need to always impress everybody. You don't need to, like, you know, act as if you're a cultured world travel. Like, people can like you as you without all of that, you know?
Ooh,
and I think that's why he likes Abe so much is because I feel like he didn't have to do that in front of him.
They could just kind of be boys.
Yeah, they could just be boys.
Yeah.
And you know, I think, anyways, my dad's going through a lot in his life right now, so which we'll talk about privately because it's not appropriate on the podcast. But, you know, I think he's just learning a lot. And, you know, even like, because at the luncheon, he was talking to my manager and I kind of outed him, you know, and I was just like, oh, my dad's going through. Basically, my dad resigned from his company, which is a big thing.
Huge.
And he's been there 13 years and he thought it was a shameful thing to talk about.
Oh,
and
man.
I just kind of outed him because, you know, my manager was going through a similar thing. And
oh,
I said,
really?
You two can bond.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, my dad pulled me aside. He's like, was that okay that I talked about that? Was that appropriate? And I said, Daddy, it's okay. Like, here it's different.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's much less, like, shame involved. Well, I mean, I guess there still is shame, but I feel like in Asia, it's like very acute, especially for men. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like you can only talk about like things to impress like your peers with
rather
than like really talking about what you're going through. So he was really self-conscious. He's like, did I make your friends uncomfortable talking about that? And I was like, Daddy, no.
Right. Because he's like, I'm talking about a failure. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
He was just afraid that's appropriate. But I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful that they visited. I think that our relationship continues to deepen.
Yeah.
And they get to see my life for how it is.
Yeah.
And my mom is like, wow, my daughter's pretty amazing. She's just poor.
Relatable content.
But you know, that's how it was with them. But also, how have you been in terms of like your family? Because depending on what you want to share, it's
Lot. I have my mom went through kind of a health scare, kind of back in December and January. So thankfully, we've gotten some tests back and things are much better than we suspected. But as you know, like all of January, I didn't sleep.
Yeah.
And I kind of was really going through like a crazy anxiety spiral of just having, and I've talked about it on the podcast before, having our family history with cancer be the way that it is.
Yes.
I lost an aunt of mine, like 3-4 months after her diagnosis. And it was, horrific and it was traumatic, but that's at the same time, she was my auntie, you know, whom I love, but it's not, she's not my mom.
Yeah.
And I've been through it with my grandmother, which was one of the toughest things in my life. And I was just really living through being very afraid that this was going to be how I would lose my mom. And I would wake up at night and I couldn't breathe. And all I could do was just like cook bone broth for her, cook food for her, and like try and like just try to be part of her village, I guess, you know, but realizing how helpless it would be if the outcomes were really bad, and like living with the American healthcare system, which was delaying things and delaying things. Like she literally had to go to Taiwan to get like that full body scan, you know, because her doctor wasn't taking things like super seriously.
Fucking awful. Yeah.
It was like literally easier to fly to another country and like put on those cute little outfits and like get thrown around like a piece of meat for like 5 hours or whatever. Right.
Yeah. That's like medical tourism.
Medical tourism.
That's a really real thing.
Yeah.
Now.
Which is so funny because I feel like people our age are doing it and they're complaining so much about feeling like a piece of meat, but like our parents do it and they like love it.
I know, they love being beaten around.
Yeah, they like literally love it. But I feel that January and February were very anxiety ridden, and I kind of retreated a lot,
yes,
like from people, from doing creative things, from every, I just kind of retreated a bit. But luckily and thankfully right now everything's looking good. And so we're super fortunate. She's going to get the treatment
she
needs. Yeah.
Has she changed during this process?
I think so. I feel like our dynamic has been moving to a different place for like the past few years, but I do think she really valued and appreciated the fact that I, because she's definitely like her love language is probably in terms of what she can receive is probably acts of service.
Yeah.
And like for me, it's quality time. So a lot of times, like obviously, like, you know,
there's conflict in that.
She's like, of course I love you. I'm doing all these things for you. And I was like, but what about like quality time? You know, like what about my feelings? And like, what about, you know, like words of affirmation? And she was like, what? Like, which I'm sure a lot of like, you know, people that were raised by immigrant parents, like can definitely relate to.
Yes.
But I think that I definitely jumped in and my only outlet was like acts of service in terms of food, like being able to make bone broth. Like I would literally made like a vat like this big of bone broth, like and like gallons of bone broth for her to freeze and like drink every day to hopefully like, you know, absorb more nutrition.
Wow.
But I think that she really appreciated it. And then Abe and I cooked her a couple like healthy meals and like she like documented them and like sent them to the family. Like it was like cute, you know?
It's like you're really leaning into her love language of acts of service.
Yeah, I think so. And then, you know, my mom loves to be needed. That's like kind of her kink. Like she loves to be needed. But I think in this moment she just kept saying, don't worry, I'm gonna be fine, don't worry, like, you know, Jesus is gonna take care of me. But Abe was like, can tell she's anxious about it, you know. And so just again, like in the past when we've gone through really difficult losses, she kind of started to understand my utility as a daughter.
Utility as a daughter.
Let me tell you.
Why would you say,
let me tell, because that's what she said.
This is so clear. This is an eldest daughter of an immigrant family.
Thank you. Thank you. It's me.
The utility of
being a daughter. Because she was like, oh, now I get why. Because usually she's like, oh, she's so dramatic. She's so emotional. Like, blah, blah, blah. It's so annoying.
Oh, my God.
But when we went through something traumatic and I was like talking through it with her, she was like, started to understand my utility as a daughter.
Oh, my
in
God.
Terms of like being an emotional guy.
Like, that needs to be a fucking soundbite for all. Like eldest daughters of immigrant families. I mean, literally,
we have to
though,
have a usefulness.
You're like the family therapist, too, right?
Yeah. Copy that.
Atlas, who carries the world on her shoulders. Da-da-da. There you go. There Da-da-da. You go.
And no one knows, you know? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Nobody like, knows. You just do it. Like, literally, like, Prisca and I went to, I think we went to go eat, like, Crab House. And then we went to go walk at a Korean grocery store afterwards just to walk off, like, how much we ate.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just so thoughtful. We were just looking around, and then she saw these bones, you know, like, beef bones. And she said, I'm going to buy this.
They're so
I
much
can make-
cheaper than. Yeah. Zion Market, bitches.
Yeah.
Zion fucking
market. She literally like bought it, hauled it all the way back to Gina just so that she could make soup for her mom. And I'm just, the utility of a daughter.
The utility, it was $50 in bones.
Oh my
God. Well, because I don't buy
bones. So to me, that's expensive, but that's cheap.
Well, because it was oxtails too.
That's the good shit.
Yeah. But Zion Market, I'm telling you, they separate the bones by like type. So they have like the knee bone, they have the leg bone, they have the feet, they have the neck, they have the back, whatever. My neck, my crack. Like, you know, we could keep going. But
but
they have them frozen at Zion Market. I highly recommend. I feel like Zion's having like many TikTok-y virally moments.
What is the best bone to get for bone broth?
That's a really good question. I think like a good mix. Like I like the oxtails because there's meat on them, so you kind of get that more meaty flavor. But if you get like more of the feet, like the calf's foot, then you kind of get more of that collagen that comes out. Yeah,
collagen's what's needed now, bitch. Because look at us.
I'm telling you. And I like, you know, just the leg bones are a little bit cheaper than like, say, you know, the oxtail.
Yeah.
So I like a good mix. I think that if you go into neck bone, it gets a little gamier, just depending on, you have to really like clean
also,
it.
Also, the
flavors
really
are a little bit different. Yeah, because you get more of the, like, I'm not sure exactly how the neck bones are cleaned.
Yeah.
To be honest, but like the back and the neck, like you would just get more spinal cords or whatever. There's a funkier flavor. So, or maybe it's a more higher concentration of like hemoglobin or something.
Let's vote if we want Prisca to continue her Prisca Cooks TikTok so that she could go into the divisions of how these different bone categories.
That's a great, that's
I think
a great
this
topic.
Is really great because I'm like, wait a second, what? I like have no fucking idea.
Yeah,
you know,
I honestly have no fucking idea either.
Yeah, shut up.
But you can, when you just look at them, they look different. Like one's milkier and whiter, and one's like more bloody, like the neck. So you just so you know, where there's blood, there's flavor.
That's true. That's true.
What you say when you're on your period and going down on you. Okay. Well, Roxy, thanks for catching up with me. We are so excited to talk about this topic.
Going off of basically our aging parents, if our parents are aging, it means we are.
No.
Oh, you deny it. Don't be a biological evolutionary denier.
Because this topic one of this episode, which is aging past the zeitgeist.
Aging past.
But topic number one, which I've written down.
Stay in positive energy.
Is forever young.
You know, my dad and his group of friends, they're called Forever Young.
Yeah.
I wanna be forever young.
I love Michael Sheen.
I do. Yeah, he's Michael. Like literally, the whole saxophone playing is part of the Forever Young like music troupe. I mean. Okay, honestly, though, where are we going with this in terms of, like, being forever young?
Well, the full topic, if I'm being honest, because there's a parenthetical here, it's forever young, parentheses, JK, reminiscing on when we used to be young. Preparation.
Oh, jeez.
I just want to ask you, like, do you remember the time in your life where you were always too young? Like, everyone was like, oh, you're too young. Oh, wow, you're so young. Oh, my God, you're so young. Oh, my God, Roxy, when you're older, you'll understand. Oh, my God, you're literally so young. I can't. I don't think people said I can't before.
I just remembered wanting to grow up so fucking quick because no one took me seriously. You know
what
I'm saying?
Talk me through it in your career specifically?
No, just as a baby, as a child. I mean,
like,
okay,
as a six-month-old?
You understand, bitch. Don't even fucking act like you don't, okay? Like, don't even act like you are a Capricorn oldest sister. You.
I cannot deny.
Completely understand. And,
you're
reading
me, bitch.
In the church,
bitch,
you are your parents' daughter.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I was the youngest person on the worship team.
Exactly.
I was the youngest person
you
in the
have
choir.
To lead by
I'm with
fucking
you.
Example. You yep. are, you know, their daughter.
Yeah.
So it's like you
I've
have
always
to,
been reaching.
You have to watch. Yeah, I was also reaching too.
Yeah.
And so I just felt like, I think Capricorns, like when we come out of the womb, we kind of age backwards in life. Like we come out really fucking old.
We're
and
like, can we get a nice Cabernet? And they're like, oh, it's breast milk. I'm like, I guess
yeah,
that's
I can't,
fine.
I can't even deal with that. Yeah. But we actually, in our childhood, we were actually quite serious.
Yeah. And very serious.
This
kiddos.
Complete lunatic unhinged. Like it's going
it's
backwards.
All an act. It's just for the podcast.
We're actually
once
quite,
we turn it off, we're
quite
like,
serious.
Must shut down.
My
Must check
financial plan and life insurance policies.
Have I changed the oil on my car?
No, seriously,
though. We were very serious.
We were very serious.
We didn't know each other, but we knew each other.
I I mean, you know I saying? Feel like this is something that we relate hardcore on.
Yeah, we wanted
to be the best at everything.
Yep.
I wanted to make all the adults proud and see me and be like, oh, wait, she's different.
Right. 100%. Well, and then, so talk me through how this kind of mindset affected you. I want to talk about like your first jobs, like your early 20s.
Yeah.
What was it like? Because obviously you went in as like a PA or like a little baby producer for like certain things. Like what did you have to do to posture to let people know that like you were older than you might have been?
This is a really good question because it goes off to, I guess, when we graduated college, for example, the whole thing is to become visible, right?
Yeah.
Or again, it's that whole thing of, I want to be taken seriously.
Yes.
Right? Because if you don't, how can you grow?
Right.
And so I remembered, like, I dove completely into freelance, which I don't recommend because it's a financial hellhole if you don't
have
enough connections.
That's my life.
We're going to go into that later, but just sort of setting the ground here, laying down the law.
Bank account.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. Same. Yeah. And I just remembered when I would go out for jobs, because you don't want to be a PA, you know?
No.
It's like you work 18 hours carrying coffee, taking out trash, you know what I'm saying? Being people's bitch, you know? Mm. And then so I remembered when I transitioned to producing, I was 23 and I was doing these, you know, lower budget jobs. And I remembered like, the director who hired me to like produce his movie would be like, but you're just a little girl. You don't know anything. And granted, maybe I didn't. Okay.
I do. Now it's like at 23 hearing that it's devastating and infuriating. Mm-hmm. But now as an adult, It doesn't. I don't like that as a man.
I don't like that it was.
I don't like that it was communicated.
No, like this mid-40s man telling you that.
No,
right? And then,
ew, that's kind of gross.
It is. And you know, I just think this kind of frames up your imposter syndrome because of how people communicate what they think of you.
Right.
And then
right.
you receive that information. Yep. You internalize it. Right. So then I started thinking, and I think you may feel this way as well back then, is I'm going to prove them all wrong.
Ooh.
You know, like I'm going to be the youngest, most successful, smartest.
Yeah.
Like use this as fucking fuel.
Yeah.
And you know, I think in our society, youth is so cherished and prized upon for women.
Yeah.
That we forget that, like, the reward for wisdom is, for aging is wisdom, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just, like, now I completely feel differently. But back then, it was this endless thought of, like, well, when I reach 25, I would have produced, like, how many feature films?
Sure.
And you become super hard on yourself in terms of that. Just to prove that you're greater than your age.
Yeah, I remember always wanting to be on, a 25 under 25 list.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Forbes
30
thing.
Under 30. Yeah.
Right.
Like, and as you keep ticking up, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm running out of years to be on the young, like, you know what I mean? Hot shot list.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, did you feel the same way too? I feel like because you, I don't know, when I look at your face, I'm like, you still exude such youth. Like,
it's the retinol.
Like, no, you know, it's like you're a little girl. You know what I'm saying? It's like also like your body. You were a gymnast.
I'm
right?
short. Yeah.
And you have a smaller frame.
Yeah.
So what was that like? Like, because for me, I look very different from you. And I kind of have this.
And you carry yourself differently.
I have a cannonball energy. But, you know, we are very physically different. And that is different in many ways.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I definitely got treated like I was a little girl. So I think I had to, especially working in startups. I mean, luckily, I guess, working in startups, most people were, I would say, sub 50, but a lot of people were sub 40. Like, most people were under 40. Like, my CEO at the time, he started, I want to say he was like 34 when he started the company.
And when you were 23, for example, and he's 34, like, did you feel that that's like an adult?
He
like,
seems so old. I was like 23. He might have been 35, but I think he started the company at like 34 or something. But anyhow, I think that was fortunate because prior to that, I was trying to do newscasting. And everyone just felt like I read like a kid. Like everyone just thought I looked like a kid. And it was frustrating because it's like, you're told that your youthfulness is a treasure, I guess, but then you're also feeling this pressure to, yeah, prove yourself, to be taken seriously. But at the same time, I also had the personality of like always wanting to learn. Like I really wanted a good manager. I wanted to take someone to take me under their wing.
For sure.
Like I was really willing to learn, but I also probably had this youthful arrogance that you don't know you have until you kind of age out of it.
But
you know?
Yeah. But also yeah. I remember those days where like you would put on makeup for those newscasting things and it's like you would
like an inch of makeup.
Literally Prisca would put makeup on to look older, like much older, red lipstick, like really dark brows and like eyeliner lashes. Yeah. And, you know, like blush and hair. Contour. And her hair was really long
just
and
to go
dark.
To work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think it's like because we had this pressure growing up of like me being the only child and like you being the oldest daughter and like really fucking setting an example for like your family and like for yourself, you know, it like kind of translates to this need to come off older when we were in our 20s.
Yeah, that's true. And I just remember this one time where, you know, because I had done a lot of voiceover work at the newscasting thing. So
you have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my God. But like, I remember I had one boss who I really looked up to, but she was a little bit frosty, you know, just like I get it. Like, I think she was more Gen X and just kind of like had a different perspective on women and like, and it, you know, I think tides were turning at the time. Like it was like what Gen Z has now in the workplace. What, it, you know, we went through the transition towards that. So we were on that
millennials
spectrum.
Created a lot of change for like
we pushed a lot
company culture, you know, for what it is now.
Right.
Because it was not like this, y'all.
No, not at all. But I remember like throwing my hat into the ring to like read for, you know, one of the commercials or something. And she was like, oh my God, no, you sound like a kid, you know? And I was like, a little bit taken aback, but it's not like that she was wrong, but I think that it's just one of those moments where you realize how people view you. And it's one of those moments that like stuck with me for a very long time, even to this day.
Let's add another layer to that.
Okay.
Because we're also Asian women.
Yeah.
And Asian women
are further infantilized.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it still is a very male-gazy world and it's still a man's world in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
Like, I used to think delusionally that it wouldn't affect me because I'm different. Wow, I had a lot of problems back then.
We had our pick-me-girl moments.
We had our pick-me-girl moments.
And that's okay.
That's okay because I needed to be picked by something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Doesn't even have to be anybody, just something.
Yeah, something.
Anything.
Yeah. Pick me. Pick me.
Pick me.
I'm not like the other girls. Pick me.
Exactly.
Like,
and
literally.
And also it's like being Asian, it's like we are further infantilized, like you're saying, like we look even younger, you know, and sometimes I like,
especially in white spaces.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like my boobs, you know, like we talk about my boobs a lot on this show, but it's for a reason.
I'm talking about them right now.
But it's like, you know, so in Mandarin it's called fengman, right?
Okay.
So
yeah.
It's like ni hen fengman, you have a big bosom,
overflowing,
right? And so it was weird because I was young, but I also matured physically very early.
Interesting. So the way people like understood you in the world was kind of a mixed bag.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, you know, there was all that conversation. Like, I spoke about this before, but my mother wanted me to go through surgery to reduce them.
Right.
And I know it's because she wanted to protect me because in those times when I looked very different, like, you know, your metabolism was fast and you're like the pinnacle of what the male gaze beauty should be.
Yeah.
It's like, it was confusing because I was getting attention from a lot of older people,
you
know, and then they're just like, but you know, you're too young for them.
Yes.
But still it's like, oh, just young enough.
Right.
You know,
especially when you're not 18, you're above 18.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're kind of,
so it's like, and then, you know, that whole narrative, because we're not just talking about work. We're talking about everything, right?
For sure.
It's like, oh, hurry up and get married before you expire, right?
Yep.
So it's like, I'm young enough now.
Yeah.
And when will I be too old? So there's always this, like, fear of that, reaching that marker of when will you be too old?
Right.
You know?
Well, and so that's a great segue here for us. I want to say, Gotiz, so now you have proof that we were once young. I mean, you've gotten a little portrayal of what we were like when we were little babies around the world. We were living together and we were like bumping into each other and we're like, let's drink wine all the time. But what was the moment as we're ticking through time, yeah, kind of moving up again, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. What was the moment where you had your, oh my God, I'm getting older. I'm like no longer the young hip group. Like I'm no longer like super, super youthful. What was like that moment for you? Because I feel like you don't notice it until like you're getting older, but you don't really notice it until it like hits you like a ton of bricks. Like what was that moment for you? Oh
God, I feel like it still happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just one moment. It's like many, right? I think for example, yeah, it's like looking at your insurance form and seeing that, you know, I think 30s, now I don't care. Like, you know, now I just don't give a fuck. Like, I still feel like a child. But, right, like, you know, when you entered your 30s and you realize, like, on your medical forms, it says, like, your name and your age. And you see that big 3-0 and people are asking you, like, you know, you're entering what they call, like, geriatric, you yeah, know, age for pregnancies, right, and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, mid-30s. Yeah, yeah,
mid-30s. And, you know, you don't even really understand those spaces, like, until yeah, you get confronted with them. Another thing is feeling very young and still eager to learn about the world. And yeah, you see somebody who's, like, in their early 20s and you're just like, the fuck? Like,
right,
you shouldn't even be here. You should be in school studying for, I know, the SATs.
But don't they seem so powerful? And I feel like that's what I don't know. It's not a regret. But I wish I knew how powerful I was in my 20s. Yes. I didn't, you know, like when I see,
we were
like
very really, powerless.
It felt that way. I'm sure people that encountered us felt the same way about us. You know what I mean? I'm sure they felt like, oh my God, these young kids have so much power.
Did they feel like we were the hope for the next generation, the way that we feel about Gen Z now?
They probably did. Yeah. I'm being totally honest. And like, obviously millennials, we love Gen Z more than they'll ever love
us. We really do love Gen Z. We really do love them.
And like, obsessed, for real, and not to be like a victim, but like millennials were like just very people loved to hate on us.
Yeah.
Like it was just fun. It was fodder. Like they loved to hate on us. Even they though do. Like we graduated during recession and we really had like, you know, no ability to whatever,
we
to
really
do
the things that the generation. We really are sacrificing though, because like we're so. Also being like, hey, it's okay that you guys hate on us because at least yeah, there's hope for the future.
Yeah.
You know?
And looking back, it's like, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, the millennial worker bees. That definitely felt like what we were. You know, we worked. We did have a good work ethic and we were kind of shat on by our managers and whatnot. But I do feel that even despite like these kind of generational differences, I do think that people felt that power from us. But I guess now being in my mid-30s, looking back, I wish I knew my power. I wish I knew how to like step into it more. Does that make sense?
We were never taught that.
Yeah.
We were taught to be, I don't know. I don't think anyone intentionally taught us that we no. weren't good. It's more like the information that we took around us, that imposter syndrome is such a real thing for millennials.
Yeah.
Like even now, I think there was this whole discourse about our generation, about how we use the terms like adulting because right. we never were able to accomplish certain yeah. milestones in our life
right.
where we feel like this is what we're supposed to have. So therefore we forever feel like children.
Yeah.
Like be honest, how old do you feel now? Genuinely.
Probably like perpetually late 20s, same. A little bit. Yeah. Oh, but at the same time, I feel like I don't feel that young. There's a part of me that feels like 65 and ready for like AARP and
that's
like
really
ready to sunset.
Yeah. Opposite sides of the spectrum.
And
that's
we're like
really,
right in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're right in the middle. And I still feel like I haven't accomplished anything yet. But what yeah. about you? Like, did you have a hit me moment?
I absolutely did. For me, I started to go to the community event Tuesday Night Cafe, which
Love.
Is like LA's longest running, you
Hell
know,
yeah.
outdoor art exhibition space. And I started going, I want to say I was 23. I was really young and I started playing there at 24, give mm-hmm. or take. Mm-hmm. And so it's been in my life for a really long time. When I first started going, like me and my peers were like the youngest people there. We were right out of college. We were the little babies.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everything that we did was always the coolest thing. Mm-hmm. Like the ideas we had for songs, the tech we were using, the clothes we were wearing. We were the youngest, most fashionable people there, you know, mm-hmm. which is so weird because it's not like I really felt that way, but looking back, we were the youngest, hippest, youthful people there. And then I do think
there to turn the tide.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally. And you felt that. And I love spaces like TNC, especially for, you know, being people of color, but really like Asian American, like you feeling the support from your elders. Like yeah. It's really one of the spaces where there are people in their 50s and even 60s that regularly attend that really are so open to the youths there, you know?
Yeah.
Which there's not a lot of spaces like that, especially if we're talking about workspaces, like even social spaces or charity, there's a lot of hierarchy, but I felt like at Tuesday Night Cafe, like there was just this openness that was really cool. Like, and I had so many older folks at the time, like just encouraged me and really like helped me get connected with things or really pull me into projects, all of these things. And then I think right around when I turned like 28, I looked around and I was like, oh, like people my age we do not have the coolest pants on. Like we do not have the coolest tech, like in terms of like what we're doing with music. We do not have the newest ideas for art.
Not the know-how anymore.
No, there's a new generation right beneath us and they are coming up. And it was, I'm not going to lie to you, it was a little bit like startling. Like I was like, I need to get out of here. But at the same time, it was like, oh, this is kind of cool though.
Let's be real. There's a lot of the times when we thought, I haven't even reached my prime yet. And suddenly it's my time to let go.
Right? Because like 28 is still really young. Yeah. But then you're not out of being youthful yet. And you're not out of being young by any means. And there's still a lot of older people who will look down and be like, you're so young.
Yeah.
But you're staring down the barrel of
It's like you're seeing the world and your own youth through your own experience, right? And so for a big part of it, I just remembered thinking, I actually do have a moment now that you were talking about it where I
had
this awakening.
Okay.
And I think it was like, I don't know, I was just somewhere having a conversation with a random lady at like a convenience store.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we were talking about her kids.
Yeah.
And then she asked me, she's like, oh, do you have any? And
I'm a baby.
I know.
I'm going to get carded at an R-rated movie.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And I think I was only like, I mean, I guess it's relative, right? I was 27.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just thought, how dare you? Yeah. How dare you ask me? Like, I'm a teenager, you know? Like, how could you
Have pimples.
I still have. And then, then I remember that like started to make me feel really panicked. Because then, you know, like
panic
in terms
is such
of like
a good word,
with women, it's like, you know, and especially us, the way that you and I are coming out of school being like, all right, here we go. Like, let's accomplish this in a set amount of time. Let's get a record out. Let's get a movie out, you know? And then who knows? They have to get married and have children, right?
Yeah.
And then our lives are for other things,
and
right?
And then you're done. And then the part of your life that is your own, it's over.
Correct.
It's kind of how we felt. And I do think that was a bastion of, you know, the boomers and the Gen X kind of putting that on us. Like, for sure. We were raised by that.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I mean, when I was in the YouTube space and, you know, I was like, I was fucking 23, 22 maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to name who it was, but these very prominent YouTubers, they were like, you better hurry because you probably have like a year and a half tops left before you like expire. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
God, what?
Yeah. I was panicked. I thought they were right.
And also, we also compared ourselves with like who was succeeding at a certain age, whether and if they're younger than us, I panicked.
Like, I mean, it's a joke now, but like Justin Bieber literally like came on the scene as like 11, 12 year old. And he was so successful. And I remember being in high school at the time being like, what the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Even though it's like now I'd see it. Oh, it's a kid. It's fine. But at the time you're only like 5-6 years older than them. And you're like, wait, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. And also like having more perspective now that you're older, looking at things like that, you're like grateful that that didn't happen to you.
Yeah. No, it's so true.
Like even if you were super viral at a young age and all the fame that came with it, like.
Yeah. You would hate it now. Like
all the mental illness that came with
it. Oh yeah. And honestly, like, I mean, this is a topic for another day, but a lot of YouTubers, like I kind of equate them to being child stars because their mentality is very similar where they kind of got famous overnight. Mm-hmm. But the thing with YouTube is like, there was no structure behind you know, how to even deal with that kind of thing.
It was very new at the time. So totally.
You didn't have managers. You
literally the Wild West.
100%. And all of a sudden you're like recognized at the fucking mall, but like you have no agents, you have no managers, you have no lawyers, the way like a child star would.
Yeah.
And even though child stars got fucked over like in
you
the fucking ass.
You were so busy during that time. Like I remembered you were always off doing a collab or like, you know, having to network or go to parties or like go do stuff. And
but I mean, turning the mirror on you. I mean, I think we were both on that grind.
Fuck yeah. Okay. Yeah. Call me out, bitch. I forget.
I'm just saying.
I forget. We lived together. Yeah,
and
we
would only see each other between 2 and 4 a.m. Like, right?
That's true.
Unless like, one of us is Sunday night dinners.
That's true. That's true.
But literally 2 and 4 a.m. was our jam.
God.
And then Roxy and Rochelle would stay up till I woke up for work.
Because I'd be drinking all the way until 6 or 7 a.m.
Yeah. And then I'd get up for work and they're like, bitch, I can't believe you're going to work. And they would pass out and then I'd have to like.
Doesn't it feel like a lifetime ago?
I couldn't do it anymore.
No.
Yeah.
It feels like a lifetime ago.
It literally feels like a lifetime ago. And I do want to continue this because that I feel we've accepted that we are aging out. But I really do want to talk about because I think that if we were in our mid-20s and we had like sisters, you know, that we really looked up to in our mid-30s, in their mid-30s, like I would really want to hear what some of their feelings were. So we're going to talk about that in the second half of the episode. We're going to take a little break.
Yay, we'll be right back.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
No, but don't go.
No, stay here.
Don't go,
please.
Stay here.
We need the view count.
I know.
Thanks. We're not needy. We're not desperate.
Love it.
If you're ever nodding along while listening to Two Horny Goats, we totally get that we might not always agree on everything, but we're aimed at approaching each conversation with as much safety, balance, and compassion as we can. If you're enjoying this pod, please share it with a friend, share it over lunch, share it while you're in the car together, share it when you don't want to talk. Just listen to us so that we completely infiltrate your mind, body, and soul. We love you. Spread the good word. Stay horny. I've always been a thick girl, right? I think this is in my genetic makeup. Mm-hmm. Because I've never been skinny, I had to constantly apologize for taking up space.
Hi, Goatees. Thanks for tuning in. Last season, we did an episode about fat phobia and binge eating. If you haven't heard it yet, this is a great one to play during your commute this week. And if I'm being completely honest with you all, I had friends, I've seen memes, I've seen it in TV shows where people are like, yeah, I turn to food for comfort. I never understood it. Until I got Ashlyn and I started to turn to food for comfort. It was the only pleasure center in my brain that I knew how to fire up. In all our years of friendship, these were things we never talked about because we either didn't know how to start the conversation or we just didn't feel comfortable sharing yet.
And then my mom used to do this thing. Everything that I ate, she would observe, she would monitor. Mm. And I remembered sometimes she'll let me chew the food but spit it out. So at least I could taste it. Now that I really think back on it, it was a terrible time.
We hope you take a listen. Head to twohornygoats.com/episodes/fatphobia to listen now. Or find the episode on Spotify and iTunes. Okay, now back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to Two Horny Goats, Season 5, Episode Uno.
Uno! Season 5 on YouTube. You just saw a little...
Well, you know, we're having this very interesting discourse about youth and aging because that's where Prisca and I are right now.
Yep.
Prisca's 35. I'm 36. We were just talking about, you know, feeling young and being young.
So young. So youthful.
So youthful.
Yeah.
But now we're really traversing into that space where we're about to enter middle age.
Yeah. We're putting on the harness.
We're clipping in. And it's going to happen. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
You know?
And a lot of, you know, the women that we are friends with who are middle age, like in their 40s and even 50s, like, you know, they are telling us they've gone down the zip line and they're calling back like, it's pretty great.
And I believe them.
Yeah, I believe them
like,
too.
Like, would you, like, now that we're aging out, I would say. And I would say let's claim that because would you really want to go back? Would you give up this version of you to go back?
No, Yeah. Absolutely. No. And I wouldn't want to live. I remember getting out of my early 20s and in my late 20s being like, I wouldn't want to be in my early 20s because it was so stressful.
Yeah.
It was genuinely so stressful. And I guess let's define what we mean by aging past the zeitgeist.
Okay.
Because I feel like the people want to know.
We're no longer the culture. We're no longer the culture. That's what it is. We're no longer the culture. Like, all these like younger people, because we have like not only Gen Z, we have Gen Alpha.
Yes.
And they're spitting these terms.
They're coming right behind.
You know, they have all this knowledge and spaces and conversations that I literally, look, I'm lucky. I am a teacher.
Yeah.
So my students are Gen Z.
Right.
And so they educate me a lot on sort of the cultural landscape of what they're going through.
But does that make you feel more a part of it or less a part of
less
it?
Less a part of it. Let's be real. And I just have to be like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, what is that? What are you talking about?
Right.
You know, all I'm doing is looking at the news and feeling dread for the political landscape of my country and the world.
Right.
And so they're talking about like other things.
No, 100%. You know? And I do feel like, you know, last year our opening episode was about hitting our mid-30s, right? Which was 100% true. But even at that time, I felt different. I didn't necessarily feel I was completely out. Like, I don't know why. Like, I it really hit me more. Like, when we started talking about this season is when I was like, this has been something that has been on my mind for the past few months.
Hold on. Since our last episode, we didn't get to talk about you and me turning a year older.
True.
And let's be real, you turned 35.
Yeah, right.
And that is a real turning point.
Yes, right. Because that's how old you were when we did that episode a year ago, essentially.
Yeah. And so did something shift inside of you when that happened? Because you were saying that even just last year it felt different.
I feel like last year how I felt was like, even though I was getting older, that I could still catch up to things. Like I could still like hop on the TikTok or like hop onto Reddit and like, you know, just kind of, I felt the energy that I could not ever be ahead again. You know what I mean? Like we already felt like we were falling behind in our late 20s and I wasn't gonna be deluded to think I would be ahead in any way, but I just felt like, oh, okay, I could still tune in and like, I could still be with it. I think the biggest change was our nephew going to high school. Yeah. I think that was like
weird.
Yeah. It was definitely a moment, you know, where you're like, oh my God. And then he's starting his journey into being the culture, you know? I mean, arguably he is the culture, but like he's a freshman. So he's still like getting his legs and like figuring things out.
For
and he was like, you know, homeschooled and like Christian schooled. So it took a little more time, but I do think that watching him go through that transition and then even seeing my sister-in-law transition into being a mom of a high schooler definitely then made me understand. You know, I mean, I used the word Riz in front of him and he like literally crumpled into a ball and died.
We've become the cringy auntie uncles.
Yeah. Like, I think that's what did it. And I can see you being as a teacher.
I'm a very cringy teacher. And you know what? I honestly lean into it.
You own it.
Because it's like, that is what I am. And I don't want to be, I'm not a part of the culture anymore,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I find pride in it. I think it's only embarrassing if you allow it to be embarrassing because there was a lot of great moments, let's be honest, in our youth and generation that they never got to have.
Yeah.
And so we created the culture. And now, even though I still feel like I'm a baby, passing the torch feels kind of strange, you know? And also, like, going on to sort of the next topic of the conversation, which melds with this conversation is, you start to feel different. Like, literally, your body is telling you that you're aging.
Oh, my God, yes. Like, after a full... I don't know how you still direct, because any time... I recently helped my friend produce a project of his.
Oh, yeah. Kevin! What
so
was that
proud.
Like? What was that like?
It was so great. I loved it. I loved working with him, and I loved... You know, I realized like the admin work of producing is like totally up
my
alley.
You're so good at it.
Thank
you're
you.
So good. So organized.
I try. But after being on my feet for 14 hours, I felt like death the next day. Like, you know what I mean? Like death.
It's crazy because even just in like 29 and 30,
yeah.
I never understood when my mom would say, oh, your feet are tired.
Yeah.
And I was like, my feet don't get tired. I could stand on them for 14
That's
hours
fine.
Straight. And I mean, I'll get sleepy if I'm tired, but sure. my feet don't get tired. And right. now I understand that my feet yes. get tired.
Right. And I felt tired on a cellular level. Like I felt like the mitochondria in my, the mighty mitochondria in my cells
yeah.
were not mighty. They yes. were like, they were depleted. Yes. I felt like on an atom level, I felt tired.
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying? Like Whoa. I had, before it's like, okay, maybe you're tired, but you can always dig down and like find more energy, you know? And like, I'm so tired, but it's 2 a.m. and I have a paper to write. So I'm going to dig down yeah, and yeah, I'll yeah. find more
yeah, yeah.
energy.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
There, no more.
Yeah, yeah, I can't do yeah, that anymore.
I can't do it anymore.
And it's wild because like, theoretically, yeah. we still have people that tell us that we're babies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
older people in their 70s yeah. are just like, your life is just starting.
Just beginning, yeah. But, which is true, which is true.
But then physically yeah. and mentally and emotionally,
we're beginning the journey to middle age.
I don't know. Think about like what you were talking about, pushing through.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can just push through something anymore.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you say, I can't, I don't know how you direct, but I used to direct 3 movies a year.
Right.
I only want to do 1 a year.
Right,
like,
right, right.
I literally can't do it.
And how long, like, okay, you were out for like 3 months. How long did it take physically for you to recover
the
from
rest
that?
Of the fucking year? The rest of the fucking year. I'm not even joking.
Fucking
you know?
A. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And so, so then I'm looking at people in their 70s
yes.
who are really active and like doing something every day.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what? And I'm just like, if I feel foot pain now,
yes.
like I need to get that, you know, taken care of so yeah. that I could still walk in the future.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
The cracks, the joints, like the supplements that you right. have to take. What the fuck?
Yeah. So, okay. Question for you because, yeah. And obviously, I think all these generational divisions are, you know, they're stereotypes and they're over, you know, they're a little over concentrated, right?
Sure.
But I find that like, it's interesting that a lot of Gen X or even a lot of boomers, like my mom or like, you know, some friends of mine that are like in their 50s and early 60s.
Yeah.
They still go, 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 go. But do you think it's because maybe they weren't raised or the culture wasn't to listen to your body?
Yes, it's to push through.
Right.
It's that if you don't push through, you're lazy, which we all know is a puritanical myth.
Yes.
But it's this thing of, like, my mom cannot not wake up early every day and
right.
make breakfast for everyone and start
yeah.
cleaning.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And us, we are the generation that's yeah. like, women are supposed to balance making money and also having children and
yeah.
also getting married and also just being all the things. Like,
so on that point, and we don't want to call it like, what are some negative things about aging past the zeitgeist, but what are some pain points that you've been encountering?
You go first.
I feel there's definitely the feeling of being left behind, of like, of being behind and being uncool. And there's definitely some, I think the biggest one for me though, and I'm really curious to hear what your thoughts are, is there's a body dysmorphic aspect to being in, like, you're not young, but you're not old, like to being in your 30s, where I will look in the mirror and in a kind of like a quick glance, I'm like, oh yeah, no, that's the girl that I recognize in the mirror. Like I know her, like I've been looking at her for the past 10 years. But then upon closer inspection, there's this weird kind of like, yeah, just dysmorphia where you're like, wait, I don't recognize the aging. Like, you know, I don't recognize those wrinkles. I don't recognize that sagging under the chin. Like I feel not myself yet because I'm going through the transition of aging, you know? And like, I remember I had a roommate who was in her early 40s and I was like 24. I don't know why she lived with me. I feel so bad for her. But she was the sweetest person ever. And she was like, you know, one day, Priscilla, I woke up and the collagen in my leg skin was just gone. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, that like plump, bouncy skin on your legs. One day you're going to wake up and they're just, it's the elasticity is going to just be gone. And I was like, what? Like, this bitch is crazy. And then I remember like a couple years ago looking at my legs and seeing that the elasticity was starting to, you know, taper off in my legs. And I was like, oh my God, there's nothing you can do about it. Mm. It's just happening to you, but you can like recognize who you were in the mirror, but you're also, it's also layered with these new things that are just happening.
Yeah.
Does that ring true for you at all?
I think I surround myself with delusional people. Just kidding. I honestly actually don't think about those things.
Maybe I'm vain.
No, my partner has, you know, I think he always tells me that, like, he's like, I can't wait to see you when you're old. Oh. He's like, you're going to be 1 foot tall. You're going to be like a little ball that says,
John, did you have to be so,
he's
you have
real,
to go
though.
So hard.
It's so fucking funny. And, you know, he's like, you're hot. Like, you're like sexy. Right.
Yeah.
And so I used to have a lot of body dysmorphia.
Right.
I think it mostly comes from being fat and not so much with aging.
Mm.
And now when I look at myself in the mirror, I do look dramatically different than I used to, but I don't hate it anymore.
Mm.
And, you know, and then, and Rochelle, you know, she has a lot of grays now.
Yeah.
And she's like, I embrace them. Like, I earned these grays.
Yeah.
And I think it's really the language that we put around aging that I think it's a reward for how
True.
Long we've lived. Well, we haven't lived that long, but it's
yeah.
like we, for everything that we've encountered in our life.
Yeah.
And there are people who, you know, we are in a very image driven society.
Very much so.
And especially if you live a lot on social media and, you know, we have the Kardashians and all of these like beauty fillers and like liposuction and like BBLs, like constantly trying to manufacture the way that you look.
Yeah.
And it took a long time for me to get here. And now I'm really recalibrating the way I think about everything and being like, every wrinkle is earned, every white hair is earned.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look at my body, I'm like, it's flabby, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah, same,
it's
yeah.
flabby. I have cellulite, you know, and sometimes I feel very uncomfortable
right.
with it, mostly not because of how I look, but more so how uncomfortable it makes me feel. Like recently, very recently,
yeah.
I started committing more to like dance again.
Right.
And I think I shared with this before is that I haven't danced in over 10 years.
Right.
And it's weird dancing in this body.
Ooh,
because it
yes.
hurts. And also the physics of my body are different
right.
now.
Right, yes.
So I can't spin as fast. I can't hit certain things as fast.
The flexibility is different.
And it's really hard. Yeah.
yeah.
But also there's something in me that's like, I could still do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I can make it through the whole routine. Like, I could still do that. And for me, that's a win. I mean, it's painful because I think for me, the pain points are more physical than they are emotional.
Mm.
And I think it's because I've done a lot of work on that.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But also, it's like, look at all the things that we're gaining.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, it's... I wonder, like, how you balance it, like, in terms of just physical appearance with... like accepting things, but then also like trying to do preventative skincare or, you know what I'm saying?
For
like,
sure.
Yeah. What's like, what, how did those two values kind of live together
yeah.
for you? Yeah.
I think so like this whole self-care model, which is all about like spending money in
yeah.
our capitalistic
retail
society.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is, so I'm really letting go of that. Mm. I think it's more so that your body is your home. Like Prisca lives in a gorgeous home. She takes such good care of it. And it's like, our homes are also our bodies too. Right. And it's like, at this age,
yeah.
you could work out fucking six times a week
sure.
and then not lose any weight.
Yeah, no, literally.
We have
yeah.
insulin resistance.
That's
like
literally
all this
what it feels like.
You know,
yeah.
you diet with that. You
yeah.
will not lose a pound.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? And sometimes I wonder, like, when we're so hard on ourselves in terms of retaining our youth, are we still trying to remain in culture?
Yeah, right.
Right? And so if the whole thing is about being able to, like, go of that
yeah
and living authentically in where we are now
right
and like we still let's be honest have all this fucking knowledge
yeah.
and experiences
right.
that are completely worthwhile
totally
and so I think it's a really a mix of both
yeah
you know
yeah I understand it's like
yeah.
this balance of like I think like sometimes like wanting to take care of our bodies and wanting to maintain them it's hard for that not to have an aesthetic
yes.
outcome in mind, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess to move on from like physical appearance, which, you know, I think we are always going to be on different journeys of, and I think we're always in
like,
different.
Like you're the hottest person. I fucking,
Stop.
I mean, look at her new haircut.
Stop. Oh my God.
It's like amazing.
So short.
I love it.
Well, this is the first time they're seeing us. They've never seen us before.
Oh my
it's
God.
So
I know. This is what I look like.
I know. But you know, I was talking to a really dear friend of mine and she was, you know, she's now, coming up on, her later 70s and you know, it's Beth, right?
Love. She's so beautiful.
She's so beautiful. She's
Effortless.
Maybe mid 70s. She's just like in her 70s.
Yeah.
But she was like, one of the hardest things about getting older, like, you know, past menopausal age was just becoming increasingly invisible in society.
Are you afraid of that?
I don't know about afraid, but when she told me, it was very matter of fact. It wasn't like, oh, I'm invisible. It was just like, you become invisible. I never really thought of that as a firsthand experience. I have dismissed elderly people as a younger person. I really work not to now, but it's very easy to. You know, I remember being a kid, you're like, oh, do we have to wait for the grandparents? Ugh, like, you know, being very flippant about it. But just her saying that was very eye-opening, more so than anything. It was just like, oh, wow, that is... that's in the future, you know, for us. And one day we will, she was like, it's not that anyone looks at you with any disdain. It's not that anyone like likes or dislikes. It's like you become invisible because you can't like you, according to society, you're not viable and you don't offer society much.
Fuck them.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
I mean, it's like Amalia, right? Yeah. Like she's in her mid-50s.
So hot.
Yeah. Like so gorgeous. And she doesn't even do anything. She could just like walk around and people will start staring at her. And I think because of how she takes care of herself, she comes off a lot younger.
Yeah, she does. She looks like she's in her 40s.
Yeah. And like also women, you know, we go through, like Prisca and I are not familiar with this, but we will eventually cross this bridge of like the pain of menopause and how it's still so different for so many women.
Yeah.
And it also takes away a lot of things.
You lose a lot of your femininity.
You lose a lot of it. Yeah. And so it's going to be a journey that we traverse on that will definitely have more pain and require us to let go of certain things.
Right.
But sometimes I'm just like, we must stop hanging on to how society as a whole would view us.
Sure.
You know? And I think that like, I think, I don't know, aging has been, my fear of aging has always come from my mom, you know, and what other women and what we've seen and how they are afraid of becoming invisible and irrelevant, right? And I think just me, like looking at, you know, like Tig Notaro and like, you know, just a lot of these like older people who have found success in their later years.
Yeah.
And that they're blooming. And, you know, this gorgeous 70-year-old like ballerina like just moved to New York to pursue her dream.
Right.
And I find a lot of inspiration from that.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with you 100%, but I do know that when that moment comes where your tenacity and your passion and your personhood is, it seems to just only be echoing in a dark room. That's going to be a painful experience.
Sure. But we'll have each other because we'll be old together.
Unless I'm dead.
Oh, yeah. Unless one of us dies, which means you can't die.
But that's another thing about aging is genuinely like losing people in your life that help make your... that help make up your identity, you know?
And like, it's really hard. Like, it's I think this way now because of the people that surround me.
But
eventually when some of us go, you know, that's going to change the way that we see ourselves.
Right.
And the way we move as we move through life.
Right. And I feel like it really, again, like it calls us to be more
present,
but then also like empathetic of a lot. I think that even now society is very impatient with elderly people.
Yeah.
And as we're having this conversation, it's all good and well, because we're young and we still can move around and we're still able-bodied and we're still, I mean, we're aging past like the cultural zeitgeist, but we're still like, we're not aged folks, like, you know, in any way, shape or form. And I just feel that there is a genuine sadness in my heart when I think of not just me, but our generation and everything we have to offer and all the wisdom that we have incurred, like being sidelined and being ignored.
That's valid.
You know,
totally. Which is why we have to say, fuck them.
Yeah.
And just live our best lives. I know.
But you know what I'm saying?
Of course I do. Of course I do. And that's the heartbreak of it, right?
Yeah.
Like when you're younger, you never think that. You think, oh, you still have so much time. You
still
have so much time to accomplish all these things. And in the blink of an eye, you're like 36 years old, you
know?
And
suddenly
it's almost like it's almost summer. You know what I'm saying? And it's like time will continue to accelerate at a much faster pace. We can't move as fast or do as much anymore.
Right.
Like literally I sit down and write an email and like it's 10 o'clock. I'm like, okay, I write an email. Suddenly it's 11:30.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck?
It
like,
went so quickly.
It went so quickly. I'm like, am I just like slower now?
Right.
You know, but
what are, I feel like I've talked about some of my primary anxieties or pain points in terms of like this moment of realization of mm-hmm. understanding that we've moved past the cultural like mm-hmm. zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. What is it for you? Like, what are some of these pain points?
My pain points is only my health.
Really?
Yeah. I really don't care about culture anymore. I mean, and that's, I think it's because I'm really embracing dismantling everything I've ever cared about in terms of wanting validation from other people, you know? And I literally at the forefront of everything is health, because I see a lot of our peers who are in their 30s getting cancer, mm-hmm. you know, and like health scares, like you're saying, to me, that supersedes everything.
Yeah.
Like that me feeling like, if something happens to my body or I can't get that back.
Right.
Like that's the most valuable thing to me above all else. Like
totally,
you know, the health, my mobility, like all of that. And even now sometimes I get scared because I like wake up and then suddenly my knee cracks. Mm-hmm. My knee.
Yeah, my knee.
I know. That's not even supposed to go until like my fifth, you know, and I'm a fatter person. So there's more weight on my joints and, you know, and all. And so I need to take better care of making sure that they have proper support and that I'm exercising them often.
Right. But, and take that glucosamine, baby. Yeah.
That makes my pee super yellow, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh. I don't know why. But I just... That's the fear for me.
Got it. Yes, it's more physical.
It's physical. Yeah, it's physical. And...
like ailments.
Yeah, and I also, like, women are periods and, like, the how hormonal you get. Like, if you aren't on any sort of hormonal supplement, I'm taking them now.
Oh, so really?
So it's, like, my skin's a lot clearer.
Oh, wow. You know? Well, I didn't know that. You're taking hormonal supplements.
Yeah, I am taking hormonal supplements because I had really bad cystic acne, you know, ever since, you know, my abortion 2 years ago.
Right.
Like, my body has been responding very differently.
Wow.
So it's just I just being more sensitive to your body and your needs. Like, again, we are the generation, like you said before, we're different from our parents because they live in their bodies. Yes. They really live up here or like think deeply about it. And because we're more sensitive to that, it's like I'm hyper aware.
We're noticing
if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for
so
sure.
I think that's where my anxieties lie.
Copy. I mean, I feel that and I can obviously relate to it. And Gotiz, if you are, no matter what age you are, we want you to share your thoughts on this, because I think that no matter where, even if you're 22 or like 12, I don't know if, you know, 12 year olds are listening to this.
I'm sure. Let us know.
I know. Let us know. But like wherever you are on the spectrum, whether you're 60, 70, 80, whether you're like 20, 30, you know,
give us some insight.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear your stories.
What do you think about this topic? What do you think about what we've said? I mean, this is just our opinion.
Yeah.
We're not right by any means. And even between Roxy and I, we have different thoughts and opinions.
For sure. Absolutely.
But we're going to close this on, what are the positives? What are the goods? What are the oohs? What are the yeses?
Oh my God. The oohs, the goods, I love myself, you know, and I just love, I've gotten further beyond what I ever thought I could accomplish. And I just feel that life isn't as terrifying as it was when I was young.
For sure.
To me, that is the greatest reward, is I don't feel scared anymore.
Mm.
And that is the greatest reward in life. You know, what about you?
Yeah, I think along similar lines, it's like the freedom. Like there's so much freedom. Like, I don't care about. I don't care if I'm wearing the right thing.
Yeah, you look so hot, by the way. Like, look at this, like, amazing shirt. This, like, tie-dye.
Shout
hot
out.
Pink is coming back, bitch.
Out to Amanda Tran of In the Morning.
Ooh,
just a little rock, a punk rock band.
Okay, and let's
pop,
be honest,
rock,
like, they could make fun of millennials all they want, but they are inspired by the choices in our generation.
2002 was a year.
Exactly.
Like,
oh,
this,
my God.
Yeah,
early aughts is totally a year.
It's a whole aesthetic that y'all borrowed and we appreciate.
Yeah.
Because it
but
makes
please
us,
give
like,
us credit.
Both feel old and also like, but we had that.
Exactly.
Like, we had that.
That was us. That was us. That was us.
You
that
think
was
trucker
us.
Hats will come back?
Please no.
Please no.
Please no.
So many things.
That is something I would love to leave
in the past.
You know, in the past, as well as skinny jeans.
But
and
the super low ride jeans are coming
back. No. My body can't.
No.
My body can't.
But the flares are coming back. I'm not upset. I there's something like cute and coquettish about the flares.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
But like so many things, I just feel the need, like the release from the need to try and keep up is really nice. And just kind of not giving a fuck.
Not giving a fuck is the best fucking
feeling
in the world.
Yeah.
And we had to get here. We had to live through that to get here.
Because remember people in their 30s were like, oh, you really care about what people think of you, or like, oh, you still really care. And I was like, no, I don't.
I was like, and I was like, why shouldn't you care? Yeah, I'm like,
that's weird that you don't care.
That's weird that you don't care.
Yeah. And it makes sense because at the time, our friends and our connections were our entire world. And yes. Now as we're older, like yeah. things are really different. Like for those sure. weak connections, they kind of just break off. And like, mm-hmm. if you're not a community, you will see each other 3 times a year. Correct. And that's fine. That's and even fine. If you are a community, you're in touch all the time, but you might only see each other 3 times a year, you know? So, I feel like our connections are really different.
Yes.
And so I'm not blaming us for feeling that way. I'm mm-hmm. not blaming anyone for feeling that way, mm-hmm. but our life circumstances have changed. The wisdom that we have has grown. And now we're at a place where we can literally like, feel the relief of not caring.
Yes.
It's just like,
yes, I love it.
Because who cares?
I love it. Who cares? And aging is beautiful. I mean, honestly, I've talked about this before as well. I think women in their 40s have a certain type of beauty.
Yeah.
That for some reason is goddess-like.
It's so hot.
It's so hot.
It's like, so hot. Yeah.
It's because you don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And you've learned a fucking ton.
Yes.
You are well experienced in whatever it is that you put your time into.
Right.
And you walk with a certain power.
Yes. And you know what? As you're saying that, it's giving me this image of like right now where we are in terms of moving towards the back half of, you know, our youthfulness, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're moving into the next phase, you know, we're kind of like Bambi trying to learn to walk.
Yeah.
And we're only going to get better at this.
Yes.
And all the things, and we're kind of like preteens of middle age.
For sure, for sure, for
you
sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like we have our training bras.
We're the teenage version of adults and we're moving into adults.
Yeah. Of this next phase.
Yes.
You know, because we're already adults. We've been adults for a really long time. Like 18 years we've been adults. Mm-hmm. That's weird. But you know, we're kind of moving into this next phase and we're just babies in this phase.
Yes.
And it's kind of beautiful. Like we are only at the beginning of the awesomeness and the perks that we will walk into when we are in the room.
I just really hope that I don't become a dinosaur who feels like they know everything at the end of life.
Yes.
That's the only thing I don't want for myself.
Yeah, that's facts. You
know, I want to continue to remain curious about life.
Like, we want to be forthright about the wisdom that we've gained, but we want to be open.
Yeah.
We want to be open. Because that's the thing with, like, my friend Beth, who's in her 70s.
Yeah.
She is so open to what we're going through.
Yeah.
She's never telling us. She's not like, you guys need to do this or you should do that. She's just like, well, what are you guys doing? Well, what's the cool thing right now? Like, well, what are you guys up to? She's so open. And every time we go somewhere, we travel together, we like see new things. She's like, wow, that's so cool. And
that's
I'm like,
amazing.
I strive to be that when we're older.
You know what? Just listening to that makes me think maybe getting older is just really needing to balance keeping that. It's not about how old you are.
Yeah.
But balancing that youth and the wisdom inside you at all times.
I don't think we could have ended on a better nizote.
Nizote? The two horny notes? And speaking of which,
do you hear that?
Oh, no.
It's time for...
Now we're really back.
I feel like now once we hit the unsolicited picks, like things are really, the train is really going.
The train has been going.
Yeah.
We just got hit by the train.
We are on a ride, bitch. What are your picks?
Oh, girl. Okay. So going off of what we were saying earlier today, like way early on in the conversation about being young and also being perceived by older people, there is this really titillating documentary that I would harbor discretion to watch.
Okay.
It's called Quiet on Set.
Okay.
And it's basically inside look on how all the early Nickelodeon shows were really predatory.
Yeah.
Oof. And it's a hard watch. Oof. Of course, it goes into Dan Schneider, who's fucking
boo.
Awful. And, you know, Jeanette McCurdy, of course, has talked about him as well. But it goes into the inside look of all that Amanda Bynes show and like what happened with Amanda Bynes
and Josh and Drake, right?
And it goes into a fuller picture. Like if you are a 90s kid like us and you grew up with those types of shows, this will destroy your view of those shows that raised us. But I think it's a very important documentary series to watch.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend it. And I will say my second pick, which is, I'm sure all of you have seen it because, like a film bro, I'll say, it was cinema.
It was cinema. It was a reason to go to the movies.
And a reason to go to the movies.
What are we talking about?
I mean, Denis Villeneuve is like...
Yeah. Auteur.
Like, literally the best.
Wow, the visuals. Can we talk about the visuals?
The visuals, the freaking sound design, the fucking music.
You do have to see this in the theaters, I feel.
So immersive.
Because I did not see the first one in the theaters, because at the time, I just didn't have time or the money.
I understand. Yeah.
Seeing this one in the theater, I was like, oh my God, yeah. This is a theater event.
I watched, like, an 11 p.m. screening.
Oh, shit. How did you stay awake?
I don't know.
We are too old for that, Rusty.
I was like, every time I almost, like, I was engaged, but my eyes were drifting closed, and then suddenly the bass would come in, and then my anus would, like, clench up, and then like a sandworm.
It's just like,
and it's wild, because the only reason why I went to that late of a screening is because everything was sold out.
Oh, shit. Okay, you know? Yeah. Was this opening weekend?
It was, like, literally 2 weeks afterwards.
What?
I was really late to the game.
Copy.
Anyways, like, I love Timothée Chalamet. Say what you will about this man. You know, I am obsessed.
He and I share a birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a Cappy.
I mean, he's like 10 years younger. But still.
Okay, it's like, I know he has like this little younger boy vibe, lanky, but when he used that voice...
Give me the water.
What did you think about Austin Butler?
Way better than I expected. Yeah, because my sister was like, ew, he gives me the ick. Yeah. And then afterwards she was like... But he was kind of hot, though.
I know everyone is, like, losing their shit over him.
He had that gravitas.
Yeah. And he still has that Elvis voice. Right. He's in a very gravelly, lower register, you know?
And he had, like, nasty teeth. But
it was really, it was strangely hot.
It was like, ooh, you're bad.
Everybody was, so hot.
You're so bad.
So hot. Ooh, such a bad boy with bad breath. Bad boy with bad breath. Give it to me. Ooh.
Don't worry. I spearmint.
Yeah, and then like Zendaya on the red carpet is just, can you even, Mugler, vintage Mugler in that freaking CP
like
3-0 like outfit.
I've always had,
yeah,
I found women beautiful. I am, she is, my bi side is fully bi.
Yeah, you're bi panicking.
I am bi panic. Yeah, my bi insanity for Zendaya. Like when I tell you, like, I want to lick her.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. She's perfect.
Yeah, she's
perfect.
Tom Holland is one lucky man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's one lucky man.
Yeah, and I love how she, like, has been talking about him.
Oh, my God.
My little heart, needs their relationship to work out. It's very parasocial.
No, seriously.
And I will be fine if they break up. Like, no pressure.
No,
but, like, how fucking cute.
I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for them more than I'm rooting for J-Lo and Ben Affleck. No tea. 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 Okay, your turn.
Wait, but so they're really not going to make a third? Do you think they're going to make a third?
How can they not make a third?
But they're, like, saying they're not going to make a third.
Who said they're not going to make a third?
Well, there's just, like, no third one planned.
If there's no third one planned, I swear, movies are dying. Yeah. Like Hollywood is dead.
Because they need to make a third.
I mean, this has the most successful box office in like a decade.
Because you can't wait to make it. Because then Zendaya and like... Well, but then, just according to the books, apparently the next book is like...
They're like 16 years in the future.
It's like totally different.
Are they seriously going to make us wait that long?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I do feel like... I feel like, yes, we should stay loyal to the text, but at the same time, they have something so good going. Like, I do feel like maybe we can...
Denis, come on, maybe pull... Don't give
you some creative license and, like, just do something, you know?
I mean, Anya Taylor-Joy was there for one scene.
That's why I was like, no, there must be a third movie.
There has to be a third movie.
Florence Pugh barely did anything. I know. She just, like, used her eyes. That last scene,
when he picks her over Zendaya,
I was like,
they can't tease us like this. Like, they basically, this movie is a tease for the finale.
It should be, but then according, the books don't go that way.
Whatever.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's taken so much creative license already. Why not just go all the fucking way?
Because in the books, like, by the time that he makes that choice or whatever, they're supposed to have like kids. Him and Zendaya already have, like, they've already been together
already
for a long
time.
It's already different. So maybe they can just...
Why can't they just commit to these
Yeah, because we haven't
changes.
Even met the sister.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's just a fetus.
Yeah, I know.
She's talking through the womb.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, like, Anya Taylor-Joy walked the carpet, even though she only did this, I love you, Paul.
Oh, we did see the sister. That's
we
right.
Did see
okay,
it.
Yeah.
We did see
She's
sister.
A hot sister.
Hot sister.
Hot sister. That's confusing.
It's like funny. It's like all these TikToks of like Anya Taylor-Joy getting on set of Dune and be like, and action. And like, cut. Okay, that's good. And she goes, and then she's like, really? That's it? Yeah, you're done. Yeah. You're wrapped. And then she walks the carpet.
$1 million.
$1 million. Wow.
Okay, my picks are, what? Okay. How do you follow Dune? How do you follow Dune? I finished a big book this year.
Oh, big book.
Started it in Jan. Okay. And it's like 700 pages or something.
Whoa.
So more so than anything, I just want to brag that I finished like a long book. Thank you.
Fuck yeah.
But it's called Covenant of Water by Abraham Verghese. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. So apologies, but it is a beautiful book about turn of the century India. And they talk a lot about, I mean, it's not similar necessarily, but there are similarities to Pachinko in that it is a generational story. Mm. I believe they talk through three or four generations of the same family. Mm. And I don't want to give anything away, but they do. It's beautiful prose. Like, it's really stunning prose, really beautiful descriptions. I feel that I learned a lot about the history of British colonial India.
Wow.
And, you know, all the fucking shitty ass things that the British at the time set up and kind of the failure. Of it, the failures to the people. Mm. Also, a really interesting history into medical science, which is way more interesting than it sounds. So, it was a really good book. I really enjoyed it.
You are like my hero.
Why?
Because I feel like I am so bad at being disciplined at finishing a book.
Why? What did I do? But it's fiction. You know, it's fiction.
It's 700 pages.
It was 700 pages.
Raise your hand if you could stay that disciplined nowadays, like with our. I mean, that's another thing about like aging past the zeitgeist, is because a lot of these, you know, younger millennials and Gen Z don't read.
I see what you're saying. I feel like there's a larger swath of people that don't read, but I do feel like there's a concentrated group of people that really read.
Really, yeah.
So I feel that kind of gives me hope. And I do feel like there's a lot of dialogue going on publicly about books that we didn't have when we were younger.
Have you read Three Body Problem?
No, not yet.
Okay. Have you seen the show?
No, I haven't.
Okay, let's.
Next pick. So I just got back from Park Slope. I was visiting my sister Rose.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, Rosie. She's never gonna hear this because she doesn't listen to the podcast. She's like, you know what I realized? I hate podcasts. She's like, you know what I realized? I hate singer songwriters.
That's what sisters are for.
They keep it real. They really do. But there was near her place in Park Slope is a restaurant that I guess went viral during the pandemic. But I mean, we lived in LA, so we didn't hear about it. Called Pecking House. It's a Taiwanese boy named Eric Wang. His family owned a restaurant called Pecking House, where they made like, you know, kind of Americanized Chinese food and I believe duck. Mm. During the pandemic, in order to help his family's restaurant stay afloat, he was like, okay, I'm going to start making like this fried chicken. And so he basically, the only things that worked at the restaurant he was at was like the fryers. Oh. So he like used to work at Michelin star restaurants and then went to help his family during the pandemic and kind of formulated this breading for the chicken that includes three different types of flour, like not just regular wheat, but like white and cornstarch. Uh-huh. And then I believe also this thing called like Evercrisp or something, which I've never heard of.
Does it make it ever crispy?
It makes it ever crispy. Okay. And then he makes the chili oil with duck fat.
What?
And then like Tianjiang chilies. Ooh. I never really heard of this, but they're like medium heat chilies. Ooh. And some like Sichuan peppercorn powder.
Uh-huh.
And it, when I tell you, and oh, it's served on milk bread. Toasted on one side. Huh. So it's like the Asian white bread.
It like sounds fancy and then suddenly it sounds very casual.
Yeah. Because it's like it's a fried chicken sandwich.
Oh.
So it's like milk bread that's toasted on one side with QP mayo with this beautiful piece of moist chicken with like this like shatteringly crisp exterior.
God. Oh my God. Oh my
dredged
God.
With this beautiful duck fat like chili oil.
Oh my God.
And then with these like pickles that remind me of like Taiwanese pickles, like what you would eat growing up, like a little side of the pickles. And it was that in a sandwich. I'm like literally drooling. One of the best food experiences I had in New York. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Taiwanese spicy chicken sandwich.
Let me tell you.
Kouken zemeyang.
It was like your mouth is watering from the umami because he puts MSG in the brine and also in the fat. And then the mouth feel was, it's like, you get the softness of the milk bread because it's only toasted on one side. Then you keep biting and it shatters through this crispy skin. And then you go through the middle, which is just like juicy. And then the QP mayo in your mouth as you're chewing kind of covers the spiciness. So it just rounds it out. And the spice level is like, I didn't sweat, but I felt the heat. It was like a perfect level of spice. It was just spicy enough, like maybe like sriracha level. But then flavorful because it's like chilies and then a little bit of mala to just kind of like round
fuck
it out.
You.
Like tingly. Yeah.
Shut the
that
fuck up.
That shit was good.
Fuck you. What? Yeah, I'm fucking jealous.
And then you can also order a side of bone broth. Chicken bone broth. Kind of like how with Hainan chicken, like Hainan tea, like you would drink the broth. But this one has the Chinese cooking wine. So you really taste that it's almost like it's like zui qi. It's like
drunken chicken.
I didn't think of that. It tastes like drunken chicken.
Okay, I'll be honest, I've never had good zui qi.
I feel that it always gets stringy.
Yeah, it always just and also feels very very drunk. It's a little alcohol-y.
You definitely taste that. They have to use good wine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's overpowering.
Copy.
Yeah.
But that was my pick, so.
Oh, my God, you guys.
I think we just did
our first episode.
Yay.
Oh,
my God. Thank you guys for supporting us in season 5. And, you know, you can always go to twohornygoats.com and hit the donate button because we need money to keep all this going. Yes. I know it doesn't seem like it or look like it, but we need donation. Just kidding.
I'm donating right now donation. To our own freaking podcast. But you know what? We're here. We're working on like vocalizing our needs.
Yeah.
So appreciate you being here with us. If you like our content, please support us.
Support us. And if you want to work with us in any way, shape, or form, hello at
twohornygoats.com. So have a horny week.
Our lovely goatees.
And remember, stay horny. Podcast is hosted by Roxy and Prisca, music by Abraham Kim, artwork by Connie Yen.
Please visit us at twohornygoats.com. Have thoughts or questions for us? Email us at hello@twohornygoats.com.
Okay, bye!